Will you please turn in the scriptures to the Gospel of Luke and the chapter 14? We're going to read the parable related by Jesus Christ in this Gospel, chapter 14. The parable of the Great Supper. And then we're going to read the text in Mark 16 and verse 15, which is the Great Commission. And we want you to follow the Word of God carefully. We invite your attention. We want you to listen as best as you can. I was reminding our young people at the Youth Fellowship on Friday night that when you leave the house of God, having sat beneath the preaching of the word, if you have listened, you will only take away 1/6 of that which has been preached. The ordinary hearer listening attentively to God's word. That means if I preach for an hour, which I do not intend to do today, 60 minutes, you will leave with 1/6 of what I've said. That's just 10 minutes. And that's the careful listener. And so it means that you've got to give your heart over to God's word as best as you can. Not to be doing other things. I was amazed a number of months ago when I was told in a certain church, not too far away from here, that there was a group of young people and they were sitting in the back of the church playing with mobile phones and with Game Boys. And nothing was being done about it because they didn't want to upset the young people. I said to myself, well, thank God that doesn't happen here. But then I was told recently that there might be one or two young people and they're texting during the sermon. If you're an adult sitting beside a young person like that, just tap them on the shoulder, tell them, put the phone off. We are here to meet with God. Nothing is to distract us in any way. And if you only get a sixth listening attentively, if you're doing other things, you're going to get very little. What's the point in coming to worship God? You're here to meet with God, to listen to Him. I didn't think these things were possible in the Free Church. I was at another meeting this week, and I sat just beside a young person, and I heard this tapping, 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 and behold, this young girl was on a Game Boy, and she had her pen, and she was tapping. I don't know what she was doing, but she wasn't listening. She wasn't listening. And the word was a very powerful word. So, we invite your attention. We want you to listen carefully to God's word as we read it, as we speak upon it. First of all, in Luke chapter 14, verse 16. Then said Jesus unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came, and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. But I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And then the text is in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. The familiar words of Jesus in the Great Commission, we've looked at it recently. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. May God bless the readings of his word. We have four special December meetings coming up. There's actually five Lord's days in the month of December. One of them falls after Christmas. We haven't made that a particularly special meeting, but the four preceding Christmas time are. Next Lord's Day evening, the 2nd of December, is our regular monthly family night. On the 9th, we're having a Bring a Friend night service. Then on the 16th, we're having the Christmas family night service. And then the Sunday just preceding Christmas, on the 23rd, will be our carol night service. These are all specially arranged so that you and I will have an opportunity to reach the souls of men with the gospel. And we want every Christian to be up and doing what they can for these meetings. The world around us is lying in sin. The world around us is dying in sin. Passing onward, quickly passing, many on the downward road, careless of their souls immortal, heeding not the call of God, passing onward, trample on the Saviour's blood. What should the end be of them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Our family, friends and neighbours are lost and perishing. They're going out into the eternal night of eternity, unprepared and unready. Oh, the darkness. Oh, the torment of that place. Oh, the unspeakable and unending suffering. They need rescued. They need redemption. They need regeneration. And how will they be reached? Well, the most effective way of saving a dying world is by personal evangelism. The Church of Jesus Christ needs awakened to its mammoth responsibility. We are on a rescue mission. How cold and unsympathetic our hearts can become. How indifferent our attitudes can be to the teeming multitudes around us. And we fail to see them the way that God wants us to see them. King David once said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. And then from the very depths of his innermost being, he cried out, no man cared for my soul. And I just sometimes wonder, is that what the world is saying out there? Nobody cares for my soul. I wish I had the compassion of Jesus Christ, my Savior, who wept for the lost in his day, who was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes. I wish that I had something of the burden of Paul, who had great heaviness and continual sorrow in his heart over the perishing multitude of his time, of perishing Israel. And I trust as we bring the message that I believe God has given to us for this morning, that God will challenge your heart and mind. We're speaking on personal evangelism. I'm thankful to the Lord that he has crossed my path again with the Whitfield College of the Bible some years ago when I was asked to go and lecture on this subject. Christian doctrine 1 year and personal evangelism for the other year. These subjects are near to my heart. And I want to take the subject of personal evangelism and seek to apply it to us all. And we're emphasizing the two words of Jesus Christ in the Great Commission where he says, go ye. Go ye. We've been thinking about the need to have a burden and a vision for the souls of men. In fact, we took 4 or 5 Lord's Day mornings to think about the ministry of Hebron. And the emphasis, of course, was on this subject of evangelism. Jesus Christ left an outstanding example for us to follow. None can deny his passion and love for precious souls. You remember in Matthew chapter 9, we've mentioned it already, where he was moved with compassion. He looked at the people of his day And as the eyes of Christ fell upon them, the Word of God says when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. It had an inner effect upon him. He saw them sheep scattered, a sheep scattered without a shepherd. And that divine, loving heart of Christ went out to meet these people as he saw them in all their woe and in all their plight. Recall John chapter 4, where Jesus says, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me." My meat. The very thing that he fed upon, the thing that kept him going, was to do the will of his Father in heaven. And that statement is in the setting of evangelism, the reaching out to the lost souls of men. Call to mind the forceful statement of John 9, where Jesus again said, "I must work the works of him that sent me. The night cometh when no man can work." It was a compulsion, an inner compulsion to him. I must do this. Even as a child, he possessed this compelling desire to work for his Father and to do his will. I must be about my Father's business. The concern and zeal that Jesus Christ had for a lost and a dying world was something that he desired his people to have, to possess. He wants us to be like him in all things. And when it comes to the business of soul winning, reaching out to the perishing multitudes, spreading the light of the glorious gospel, our Savior expects us to follow in his steps. He often exhorted his people to be engaged in these things. The text here in Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." He also said, "Ye are my witnesses." He said, "Lift up your eyes and look in the fields that are white and ready to harvest." He said, "Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled." It is our responsibility to obey Jesus Christ in these things. We are to involve ourselves in the spread of the gospel. If you're not a missionary serving the Lord abroad, you are a missionary serving the Lord in the home field. God has called all his redeemed people to be missionaries. It's our duty to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's our duty to be witnesses unto him. It's our duty to lift up our eyes and look in the fields that are white already to harvest. It's our duty to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel sinners to come in that the house of God might be filled. And it is my burden of heart that this house of God will be filled. And filled especially on the Lord's Day evening as sinners come to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'd love to see the day when there's no empty pews every Sabbath day. That's going to take a lot of hard work under God. But I long for that day. I believe that the Lord is able to do it. God has blessed our family nights. I trust that will continue. He has increased our Sabbath services, and all glory be to his name. But what is this among so many? He's able to give much more. Very few, realistically, are being reached. Think of our time. Think of Ballymoney. How many are coming from this area? Think of the surrounding countryside. How many are going out on the Lord's Day to a gospel preaching church? We're not the only gospel preaching church in this district. There are churches that don't preach the gospel. And there are churches which are in a state of spiritual decay and have fallen away from essential truth. But you even put those churches together that are gospel preaching churches. How many from this town are going to hear the word of the Lord on the Sabbath day? There's nearly 10,000 of a population in Ballymoney, and more than twice that in the borough of Ballymoney. How many are coming to hear the word of God? The Church of Jesus Christ is making only a small impact upon the community around. How little is being accomplished. But the day is hard, and people are indifferent. you object, yes, but has God changed? Has God changed? Is he still the same God of the Bible? Is he still the same God of church history? Is he still the same God of all the great days of Reformation and revival? Those mighty doings of God that we've read about in the past? Of course he is. But men are no longer interested in spiritual things. And it's difficult to get them into meetings. Yes. But the gospel is still as powerful as ever. And the Holy Spirit is still as mighty as ever to do his work and to accomplish the work that the Lord has intended. I want you to catch the fire. Every Christian here, the preacher, the hearer alike, I want you to feel the burden. I want you to have a vision to see this place filled. How shall it be filled? In simple terms, go for them. Go for them. That's what Jesus says. Go ye. I believe that the most effective and successful way to bring others to Christ into the house of God, which is biblical and God-inspired, is personal work. When we have our meetings, particularly the ones that are special, like our family night services or the gospel missions, we seek to make these meetings known in various ways. We publicize them in whatever way we can to create an interest in the hearts of people out there to attend the preaching of the word. And so we place adverts into the paper. We hope that people buy the paper, read it, and through the advert they come in. We sometimes put a poster or two in shop windows, or we make leaflets available. Sometimes we do a leaflet drop, and of course we speak to others by word of mouth. But the most successful or effective method of reaching the lost is this personal work. I firmly believe that if every believer, touched of God, filled with the Spirit, burdened in heart, would go out and personally invite others into the services, it would have a profound effect and bring remarkable results. Here's the challenge. You're a Christian in this meeting. Here's the challenge for you to be involved in this work. And the particular challenge, as we think of the meetings now in December, is this. I want you to think about it, and I want you to pray about it. I want you to do something about it. And it's this. I want you to think of five people that you can invite to the house of God. Family members, friends, neighbours, people that you know, people you go to work with, go to school with. I want you to think of five people that you could possibly invite in under the sound of the word. Now some of you might think of 20 or maybe even 100 people if you have that many friends. But I want every Christian to think of five, and between now and December, invite them into one of the meetings that they might hear the word of God. I believe that if you did that, it would have an effect. I want you to think of personal evangelism. I want you to think about Jesus and what he's saying to your heart and mind. He says, go ye. Go ye. As we consider the subject of personal evangelism, and I'm not going to dwell long on it, but there's three things I want to say about it. First of all, it was a means that Jesus used. It was a means that Jesus used. Our blessed Savior not only preached to the masses, and he did. You read the Gospels and you'll find them speaking to the 5,000, the 4,000. The word multitude is used again and again with reference to Christ. We see houses that were thronged with the people. We see the Lord at the seaside on the mountaintop. Great crowds of people gathering. He not only preached to the masses, but he had a great concern for the individual. We're going to see in the ministry of God's Son that often he made it his business to be in personal contact with individual souls on a one-to-one basis, bringing them the gospel. May his example impress you. I'm not looking just merely for the words of this preacher to impress you, but may Christ's example impress you. Make an impression upon your heart He was wise and he was kind when he dealt with the souls of men. Sometimes he talked about a different subject before he brought them round to the subject that he really wanted to talk to them about, and that was the gospel. Sometimes he brought relief and healing to the body before he brought healing to the soul. He befriended sinners. He ate and drank with publicans and sinners. He was accused of that. He didn't socialize with them. He was there to bring them the gospel, to impart eternal life to them. Mark him with the individual. Think of the woman of Samaria. It's probably the greatest case of personal work that we have anywhere in the scriptures. What a beautiful example it is of this ministry. The Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 4, speaking to the woman of Samaria. And you'll learn a lot from it. How he talked to her, how he introduced the subject, how he brought it along to spiritual lines, speaking about the ordinary water in the well, then speaking about a water that he could give, that would be a water inside this woman springing up into everlasting life, telling her how she could have her sins forgiven, how she could have everlasting life. The Lord speaking individually to the woman of Samaria. In the previous chapter, in John chapter 3, he's conversing with Nicodemus, the man who had some awareness of Christ, who he was, where he had come from, came to Jesus by night, and the Lord had a message for him on a one-to-one basis. The crowds are not there, but Nicodemus is there. He's before Christ, and Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." Brought him the message of the gospel. Spoke about the experience of the new birth and the great love of God that is found in the work that Jesus came to do. And Nicodemus got converted. You can think about the adulterous woman that you read about in John chapter 8. The woman that the Jews says was taken in adultery in the very act. She's dragged before Christ. You know the story how the Lord wrote on the ground, and one by one they all left, all the accusers. And Jesus told the woman to go and sin no more. He spoke to her personally, individually. What about the blind man of John chapter 9? How the man received his sight, having been blind from birth. The Lord made spittle of the clay and anointed the eyes of the man, commanded him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which he did, and he came seeing. And then you know how the Jews were angry about that, and they threatened, in fact they did throw him out of the synagogue. Jesus went and found him and witnessed to him and told him that he was the Messiah, and that man believed and he got converted. He received his physical sight, but he also received spiritual sight. And then in John chapter 1, if you go back to the first chapter, you have the cases of Andrew and Peter and Nathaniel. And though they were helped to Christ on those occasions, yet the Lord spoke to them individually. And they were converted. These are but a few of the many examples, and we can be sure that there were countless others who came into personal contact with the Savior that the Scripture has not informed us about. Jesus has led the way. He has given the example. He's our model. He's our standard. And this same Jesus says, "Go ye. Go ye." It is as if he's saying, "This is what I've done. You've got to walk in my steps. Here's my example. I want you to do what I have done. Go ye." It was a means that Jesus used. Secondly, it is a means that the believers followed. They heard the command of Christ to their hearts, "Go ye," and they obeyed that command. It's spoken there about John chapter 1, where we read about Andrew. Andrew found the Lord. What was the first thing that he did? He went to find his brother. And the account is given to us in this opening chapter of John's Gospel, how that he went out to find Simon Peter, his brother.
In verse 37, the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Andrew is converted. He goes out now to see that his brother Simon is brought to the Lord. We've found the Messiah, Peter. Come and see him. Come and meet with him. And you and I ought to be going to our brothers or our sisters and tell them, We have found the Savior. We want you to meet him too. Bring them to the house of God where they can hear the gospel. In the same chapter you read about Philip. He found a friend called Nathanael. The day following, in verse 43, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. How did he come to make this confession? He had a friend called Philip who brought him to Christ. Not to bring your friends to Christ. The woman of Samaria, this wonderful account of conversion that we have in John chapter 4, she became a soul winner immediately. We're told in verse 28 that the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And as you cast your eye down to verse 39, this is what the record of the scripture tells us. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. This woman, with her sinful background, is converted. Immediately upon conversion, she goes back into the city of Sychar from whence she came to be a witness for Christ. To go ye and to bring the message of the gospel to the people of her city. And she was the instrument in God's hand of seeing many of them converted and many others brought out to hear the Lord for themselves, and having heard him personally were then converted. May God make us like her to bring others to Christ. Bring them out to the meetings to hear about Christ. But the end is the same, that they might believe, that they might be saved. What can we say about Philip the evangelist and his personal endeavor with the Ethiopian eunuch that we read about in Acts chapter 8? It's a wonderful, wonderful account again of personal evangelism, Philip being directed by the Lord. In a time of great revival, was commanded to go out into the desert. He was told to go to the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And immediately he obeyed the Lord. And he went. And he met this man of Ethiopia. He was a eunuch, we are told, of great authority. The man was religious. He had come to Jerusalem to worship God. But at this time he did not know the true God and the true Saviour of man. But there he is in his carriage, reading the Scriptures, desiring the things of God, reading from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And as Philip comes running, oh, that we would run for souls. As he comes running, he enters into a conversation with this man, which leads to him being invited up into the carriage and explains the Word of God to him, opening up the Scriptures and preaching who? Jesus unto this Ethiopian eunuch who as a result gets converted and comes to know the Lord. It was the means that was followed by the great apostle. Often Paul witnessed to the individual, and you can note him conversing with the Philippian jailer. You can watch him stand before Felix and Agrippa. We haven't time to go into those, but read them for yourself. Yes, my friends, it's a means that believers followed. The third thing that I want you to know about this subject of personal evangelism, not only it was a means that Jesus used, not only it was a means that believers followed, but thirdly, it is a means that God blessed. Not every personal contact made with individuals guarantees success. Not everyone that we witness to will be converted. As we observe with Felix and Agrippa that we've just mentioned. Paul witnessed to Felix, but he says, go thy way. Paul witnessed to King Agrippa. He says, almost thou persuaded me. These men didn't get converted, but they were witnessed to. So we're not successful every time. Even Jesus Christ had those who walked away from his presence. Like the rich young ruler who wanted eternal life, but because of a stumbling block in his life that kept him back from eternal life, he walked away from the Lord. But it is God's means to an end, and that is the conversion of souls. The woman of Samaria, through personal witness, came to know Christ. Nicodemus, through that personal encounter with Christ that night when he came to him there in the city of Jerusalem, was converted, got the experience of the new birth, was born again. The adulterous woman that we mentioned, the Lord says, go and sin no more. She left the presence of Christ saved. The blind man in John 9, he was converted. He believed in the Lord. Simon Peter was saved. Nathaniel was saved. The Ethiopian eunuch, he was saved. All these examples of what personal evangelism has done. And there's other examples that we could look at in history. It is said of D.L. Moody that he rarely went to bed a happy man if he had not talked to someone about the Lord that day. He was a mighty man of God, a mighty soul winner. What is the application of all this to our hearts today? What is this? Will you take up the challenge? Will you? If I had just 20 believers sold out to this work, and it would be great that every professing Christian in this meeting was sold out to the work, that every Christian was set on fire and went out there to do what they can, while they can, under God, to win the lost to Christ. But if we just had 20 believers sold out to this work, consecrated to God in this service, what a difference it would make. Jesus says, go ye. What a delightful thing if every Christian heard that in this meeting. But listen, if just 20 people heard that call in their heart today effectually, we will see the blessing of God in this time. Spurgeon used to talk about just a dozen people, and he had a congregation of 5,000. He used to talk about just a dozen praying people. He said we would turn London upside down if we had just 20. It means befriending your neighbour. It means going to them with an invitation. It means being persistent, not giving up. If you meet with a cold response at the start, maybe even an antagonistic response, the challenge is, go ye. But I'm too old, I hear someone say. Surely there's someone out there that you could witness to. But I'm too young. Jesus was only 12
when he was about his father's business. I'm too inexperienced. Just a simple word, like Andrew. As soon as he was converted, we found him. Come and see. I'm too afraid. God can equip you. He can make you bold. I'm too busy. Well, if you're too busy, you are too busy. If you're too busy to do the things that God has called you to do, you need to start making time in your schedule. I'm too ignorant. You feel that you don't know enough. God can give you words to say. Just get this into your heart today. Jesus has said, go ye. But he's more able than I am. And maybe you're sitting there and you're looking through the congregation. You're thinking of some brother. He's more able than me. Jesus says, go ye. But she's more experienced than I am. Jesus says, go ye. But that person there is more equipped than I am. Go ye. But it's not my responsibility. Oh yes it is, dear Christian. Go ye. Every Christian is an evangelist. Every Christian is a missionary. Go ye. It's not talent, but consecration that God is looking for. It's not intellect, but a love in your heart for the souls of men. It's not just knowledge, but a burdened heart and a troubled soul for those that are dying in their sin. You can be an Andrew. You can be a Philip. You can be a Samaritan woman. You can be like the Savior. Will you go? Will you engage in personal evangelism? Will you try by God's help to do what you can? Will you act now? Will you give yourself to the Lord for this work? Will you take up the challenge? Souls are drifting downward. Precious souls for whom Christ died. Will you go? Will you rescue the souls of men? Soon will the season of rescue be o'er. Soon will they drift to eternity shore. Because you see, the night is coming when no man can work. Who will say in this meeting, here am I, Lord. Here am I. Send me. I'll do this work for the Lord. May you hear the words of Jesus ringing in your ears as you leave God's house today. I'm going to hear the choir sing, all being well. But I want you to hear above the choir these words of Jesus. Go ye, go ye, go ye. May these words be with you every day and be with me every day. Go ye. May the Lord help us by his grace to be involved in this work of personal evangelism. Oh, dear Christian, I'm appealing to you as your minister. Obey the command of Christ. And thinking of these special meetings now in December, aye, even on into the springtime to the mission, go ye and do this work for the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for the challenge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the world is lying in sin and dying in sin. And there's few that care. And we can hear in the hearts of many out there, no man cares for my soul. Oh God, just bring us to reality. Not to be so caught up with our own things, our own interests, the things that occupy our time that we feel important, that we miss out in what the Lord has called us to. Because, Lord, thou hast called us to be an evangelist. Thou art saying in all of our hearts today, go ye. Give us a ready response to say to Jesus today, I will go. I will do what I can. With the ability that God has given me, by the grace that God will impart to me, I will go. Here am I, Lord, send me. Lord, I just commit the December meetings now to thee publicly. That thou will bless every night. The mission too, later on in the springtime. Lord, come and visit this church. Thou art God, thou hast not changed in any way. We thank thee that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. He's still mighty to save. We have changed. Our hearts grow cold. We become indifferent. And Lord, if that's how we are, how can we expect the unconverted to feel in a different way than being filled with apathy? We do believe, Lord, today that thou dost excite thy people before thou dost begin to work in the hearts of the unsaved. Thou dost bring revival to thy people before thou dost bring regeneration to the multitudes out there. Because we know that one of the great outcomes of revival is evangelism. And Lord, as thou dost come and breathe upon us, and we pray that you will today and give us the Holy Spirit, and that we're revived, that we'll go out there with the spirit of evangelism, obeying the Lord Jesus and seeking to bring others to him, that they might know him, that they might go at last to heaven saved by his precious blood, for Jesus' sake. Amen.